You may not recognize me without a baby in my arms, a little small baby, but I would be just as happy sitting back there with that baby or in the nursery as I am here. When I made the decision, as he said, to move to Silent Springs, it was totally to support Brother Jason and Sister Melissa. And that's why I did it. And you all are blessed to have them as incoming pastors. And I am blessed to be able to support them in whatever it takes. I don't care if it's sitting back in the nursery. I don't care if it's sitting in the back seat, juggling a baby. I love it. It's great to be in Arkansas. I never dreamed I'd live in Arkansas. I'm a Texan. Okay, forgive me for that, okay? You still love me anyway, right?
That's right.
All right, there we go. Now, the sister back here said you guys are quiet. And she said that she hears amens around her, but it's not very loud. So just in case I'm hard of hearing, say it loud.
Amen.
There you go. You got it. And she said she's going to give me a thumbs up. She hasn't done it yet, but I'll keep watching. And so I told Sister Kenny and Brother Chris, look, you prayed it down. You sung it down this morning. Sister Melissa didn't even preach. I'm going to be looking for that tonight. They didn't do it. I'm up here. So if you want to blame anyone, the service is over, you blame them. Say, I was waiting on you to do something with that. There she is, up there at the front. But it is good to be in Arkansas. Like I said, I never dreamed that I'd be here. I never dreamed that I'd have a daughter and a family. I never dreamed that the inside of my car would look like a cross between a daycare place there and have dogs trash can. But, and my house has more toys than should be allowed. But I found a petrified French fry and part of a hamburger bun in the back of my car the other day. I didn't know Greg could get that far. But you know, when God controls our dreams, it takes on an entirely different slant, an entirely different thing. And I'm loving every second of it. With that outpouring of manna this morning, wow, wasn't that wonderful? That was wonderful. We went to lunch at... I was so encouraged with Brother Jason and Sister Melissa saying, well, you know it's not going to be like that tonight. I guarantee it, he said. You know, and that's the truth. You know, I've been in services, a powerful move of God, and people are running and shouting and having a wonderful time, and it's like, whoo, tonight we're just going to sit there. Yeah. I got that night. Thanks a lot. So, you know, but even if you have a four-course meal, you know, you have the steak and all the trimmings and sweet tea, and tonight it's going to be more crackers and cheese. So that you can leave here being fed. If you came to be fed, you can leave here being fed. Yeah. Amen? Right. There you go. That's loud enough to hear it. Yes.
Amen.
But it was wonderful. I am Pentecostal, so amen don't scare me. It scares me when you get quiet.
All right.
So one thing that has made me feel like I'm still in Texas is that your Arkansas weather. It's just as discombobulated as East Texas. I mean, this past week, it's been like a spoiled child. You know, it runs out of the room and slams doors, I'm gone. And it's 60 seconds, it's just getting up back. And you're going, okay, what's that all about? But, so it looks like we're still going to have some waiting in the winter. Springtime's not here yet. So, spring's not here to stay yet anyway, it comes in a few days. So I'm going to call what I have to share with you tonight, Waiting in the Winter. That's part of my title. So I wish I could promise you flower gardens and soft breezes all next week, but I can't. I'll tell you what I can promise you, springtime will go. There has never been a year of all winter. All year long it was winter. I don't care how hard the winter, how cold the winter, what you go through in the wintertime, springtime will come.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
All right, I think sometimes God puts us in the dark just to show us that he's the light. It's a lot brighter that way. You know, botanists say sometimes that the March winds, we need that, the trees need that, because it flexes the branches and it brings the sap up for those leaves that are getting ready to come out. Uh-huh. And sometimes I think we need some of that buffeting, some of those gale forces, even though we don't enjoy it, we don't want it, but we need it.
Right.
So I'm going to talk about that waiting time. Job said in 14:14, the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes.
Yeah.
You want to wait till your change comes? Mm-hmm. Anybody here tonight need a change?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Three of you do. That's good.
Yeah.
So, but when we think of wintertime, sometimes we think there's cold winds and frozen ground and dark days and nothing happens in the winter. Oh, but that's not true. I got so excited when I started studying this out. What good comes out of winter besides just wishing for springtime? Well, there's a lot. There's a lot.
Yeah.
Has anyone here ever had a spiritual wintertime?
Yes.
Yeah. This means yes. This means no. So, ever felt cold then, just like no life going on? Well, I was reading in Ezra, and something jumped out at me, and when that happens, I know there's something there for me to dig deeper in.
Right.
And it said in Ezra 8:9, "And now for a little space, grace hath been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place that our God may lighten our eyes." You're supposed to stand when I read, aren't you?
Yeah.
Sorry, stand. You're sitting there, let me read the Bible. Now maybe lift some place. "That our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of God, and to repair the desolation thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem." Sounds like some winter weather had been happening in that verse. You may be seated. What kept going over and over in my mind that scripture was a little space of grace. So let me add that to that title, Waiting in the Winter, a little space of grace. Let's apply that scripture to our winter, a little space of grace. The first definition in Webster for the meaning of space is a period of time. In Webster's first definition for grace is unmerited divine assistance given humans for their regeneration or sanctification. So if I use Webster's definition, if you'll allow me to do that, to break this down into the meaning of this space and grace, here's what it says. A period of time of unmerited divine assistance given us for regeneration. Does that sound exciting to you? A period of time of divine assistance.
Right.
Not just a period of time you're going to have to tough it out, but a period of time of divine assistance. That waiting in the winter for that spring regeneration. It's not just a waiting time. It's a little space of grace. In that passage about this little space of grace has all kinds of promises and all kinds of assurance for our winter time. First, he assures us there will be a remnant escape.
Yes. Exactly.
That's good, isn't
Amen.
It? We can escape the grip of winter. We have that promise that seasons change. Like I said, there's never been a year all winter long.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to change.
Yes.
Now I'm going to talk about our winter wonderland. Ever been in a winter wonderland?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about pretty snow and trees dusted with snow and snowman and snow angels in the yard. I'm talking about I wonder if I'm going to make it through this winter.
Uh-huh.
That's the winter wonderland I'm talking about.
Preach, sis. Preach.
I want to say something right here on the surface. I'm impressed with this front row of young people.
Yeah,
that's the first thing I noticed when I came to this church. I was like, wow, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
So I'm impressed with every one of you guys.
Yeah.
That's the way young people should be.
Yeah.
Too many churches are sitting back in the back seat with their phones.
Uh-huh. Come on. Come on.
Okay, you have your phone. Put it down right now because I can see you up here. You're a little hitch. But I'm just impressed with these youth up here.
Yes,
because
yes.
That's where this power is falling. And that's where the spirit is. Yes. And that's where they're getting their strength is right up here.
Uh-huh. Good.
I'm impressed with you guys.
Yeah.
I'll even shake your head normal after church meeting. Yeah. But, you know, sometimes it seems spiritually that everything's just upside down. We don't know how to handle it. We don't know what's going on. We're just totally confused. Reminds me of Charles Dickens' opening sentence in A Tale of Two Cities. It says it was the best of times, it was the worst of times.
Yeah.
It was the age of wisdom, it was the age of foolishness. It was the season of light, it was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope, it was the winter of despair. We had everything before us, we had nothing before us. It sounds like a season of confusion and a season of no hope.
Yeah.
But let's find our hope in this season of confusion and doubt.
Yes.
If there was ever a time of unmerited divine assistance, it's during the winter of our life.
Uh-huh.
It's easy to be all up and happy when we're on the mountaintop with the warm breezes and the flowers are blooming.
Amen.
But when that same mountaintop is covered with snow and ice, it's a different story.
That's right. Yes.
Oh, yes, that little space of grace, this time of unmerited divine assistance, is connected to our winter season.
Yes, it
brothers
is.
Brothers and sisters. Uh-huh. Even on the darkest day, there's an exciting promise. Uh-huh. When I got to discover this verse, I didn't remember ever reading it before, and I got so excited. Isaiah 45:3 says, "And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, and the God of Israel." Uh-huh. Woo! Is that pretty good?
Yeah, that's good.
I'm going to put you in that place so that you will know that I've called you by name, and I am the God of Israel.
Yes.
You probably know where I'm going with this. I think he gives us those treasures of darkness and riches and secret places so that we'll know that he is the Lord.
Yes.
And that he is the God. And I think the highest truth that God gives us, you know, sometimes they're not wrapped up in beautiful, elegant packages and handed to us on a silver platter. No. Mm-hmm. I think they're sometimes buried in the heart of a big problem and an icy situation, and we have to break off that ice, and we have to sweep off that snow and get to the heart. And he sits by and watches with loving pride and love and pride and says, "You did it.
Yes.
I knew you could. There's treasures in the darkness."
Yeah.
I'm convinced that unimaginable treasures are in these dark times. In these dark winter days, we feel like there's nothing happening.
Nothing.
You know, the most beautiful diamonds, they're not out there all sparkling and glittering when they pick them up, are they?
Uh-uh.
No, they're in a lump of coal.
Yeah.
If you didn't know any better, you'd toss that dark, ugly, black piece of rock away. But there's a diamond inside of that.
Yes.
And that's what God is trying to tell us here.
Yes.
Some things can't be learned in the spring or in the springtime.
Uh-huh.
I think some of the greatest treasures are buried in the deepest pits of winter. There's treasures in our trials, church.
Yes, that's right.
There's treasures in the darkness.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
And when you discover the treasure, you can quote Ezra 45:3 and say, "Lord, I see you in this trial.
Mm-hmm.
You have called me by name, and you are the God of Israel."
Come on. Yes,
I think seeds of strength are planted in the soils of weakness.
Uh-huh.
And your most uplifting strengths tomorrow may come through your most debilitating weaknesses today. What you face. Sometimes the rubbish heap is God's material. He takes that winter of despair and he turns it, opens our eyes to the treasure that's hidden there. Many of you here are too young to remember the Panama Canal treaties when the United States gave the Panama Canal back to Panama. Well, I was in Panama City, Panama when that happened. And it was not a good time to be in Panama City, Panama. There were signs all over the city that said, "Death to the American Yankee, go home." We were chased by a guy with his big machete. That's a different story. I'll say it till later. And it's a long story. But it was a winter of worry for Americans in Panama. And I was there. And the day before the vote, I was sitting on a city bus. And this guy walked past me and got off the bus. But as he walked past, he dropped a piece of folded paper over my shoulder into my lap. And I just sat there for a second. I thought I was probably going to say death to American Yankee, go home or something. Hatred of Americans. But when I opened it, it simply said, Acts 18:9-10. Now, I didn't know what that was. I couldn't know exactly what scripture that was. I couldn't wait to get back to the apartment and look it up. And when I did, here's the scripture. "Be not afraid, but speak, and hold on your peace. For I am with you, and no man shall set on thee to harm thee, for I have many people in this city."
Praise the Lord.
Well, to this day, I don't know if that was an angel on the bus or what. But one thing I do know is it was a treasure in that winter day, that day.
Yes.
We've been chased. It was a fearful time to be in Panama City for an American. The president said, "I will not be responsible for any American life here in Panama if that's not ratified." And I sat on a bed with a transistor radio and listened to the live vote and counted the yays and nays, except it was safe, unsafe. But you know what? I wasn't scared. Because just the day before, he said, "I'm with you.
Right.
I know where you are. I know this may be a winter of despair, but I know exactly where you are."
Yeah.
So I said, "Yeah, I don't care if the nays win. I'm still going to win.
Yes.
Yeah.
God's still going to bring me through this. I know that." So there's treasures in the darkness can turn our fear into faith.
Yes.
And our pain into purpose.
Come on. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, it can.
Yes.
You may be going through a winter time right now and saying, "I'm going through it. I don't see anything good coming out of this." And he's saying that there is. Just look for the treasure in the darkness. Look for the treasure in the trial. Faith is something we grow into, and doubt is something we grow out of.
Uh-huh.
And when we become aware that we cannot, may not can escape our pain, but we can transform our pain.
Yes.
We may not can escape our trial, but we can transform our trial. Then we can be victorious in the wintertime.
Uh-huh.
We can't get through life without challenges or pain. If you've gone through life and not had any challenges, I challenge you to prove that to me.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
If you told me you haven't had any challenges and you've been locked up in a box somewhere just being given forced food, you can't get through life without that. But he can turn your brokenness into wholeness.
Mm-hmm.
You can find strength in weakness. And you can find order in life's shattered pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Life can be full of dark days. Search for the treasure. So let's dig out some treasure in this two verses, about this passage, about the space of unmerited divine assistance. Let's talk about seven things that's going to happen during that little space of grace, that winter waiting. Let's find the treasures in the darkness. And we're going to break down this two scriptures in 7 points. The first one is, give us a nail in a holy place.
Right.
That's how it started out.
That's amazing.
If you get a nail in a holy place.
Yes.
Well, a nail, a stake, a temple, that's a strong point, right?
Uh-huh.
The holy place is a promised place. God, where God is, that's where he lives, a holy place.
Right.
He's going to anchor us in his holy place.
Yes.
Well, if you're secure in him and he's anchoring you in his holy place, that's a pretty good thing to lean on in your wintertime. You know, anytime you even say that I'm going to nail that down, that means you're going to make it secure.
Right.
That means it's going to be solid. Nothing's going to change it. He is a strong tower, as Sister Melissa preached a few weeks ago. He is a cornerstone. He's going to nail us in a secure, safe place. We're anchored. I don't care if the snow comes and the wind blows, we are anchored in a sure place.
Amen.
We are anchored in him. And he says, I'm going to nail you in a holy place. Well, this is a holy place around here. He can nail you in this holy place. You're secure here. No matter what the blizzard hits or what the gale force winds hit, you are secure.
Amen.
In this place. What a
Thank
treasure.
You, Jesus.
A nail in a holy place. A nail in a sure place.
Yes.
The second thing he says here is he's going to lighten our eyes. Usually you can tell how a person's doing by looking at their eyes.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yep.
That's true.
Sometimes you need a vision check. And I would tell clients sometimes, you need to refocus. Need to, sometimes we're so focused on the things we're not happy with, the things we don't like, that we're stumbling over, all the blessings that he daily loves us with, because
mm-hmm.
we're so focused on the things we don't like.
Yeah.
And he's saying here, to lighten, I'm going to lighten your eyes. What does that mean? It lets the eyes of my faith see. Let it be clear that I can see you, see in the dark, and know that you are the God.
Yeah.
And, you know, it says, sometimes it says the cheering of a person, when they're happy, their eyes look light. He is the joy of our salvation. You can't have joy and peace without showing up in your eyes.
Right.
When you're happy, it shows up. When you're unhappy, it shows up. You can tell me one thing, but if I look in your eyes, I know different.
Yeah.
But what he's saying here is, I can lighten your eyes.
Yeah.
I can bring that joy back.
Yes.
I can bring that peace that passes all understanding.
Yes.
I can lighten your eyes.
Amen.
And that's what I'm going to do here. Isaiah 43:19 says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now shall spring forth.
Yes.
Shall you not know it?
Yeah.
I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, Isaiah here wants you to know that springtime is ready to burst forth in your life.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you're in the winter right now, but spring is getting ready to do a new thing in your life.
Amen.
God is ready to do something in your life.
Yes.
But while we wait in the winter, while we have this little space of grace, it's unmerited divine assistance, that's when we look for the treasures.
That's right. Yes.
That's when we look for it.
Uh-huh.
The fourth thing is he extended mercy unto us. Mercy is never merited, it's extended. We've already talked about grace is getting that unmerited favor.
Uh-huh.
Grace is getting what you don't deserve, and mercy is not getting what you do deserve.
Right, exactly.
It's withheld punishment. And sometimes it's hard on this cold winter season of our trials to not get angry, maybe even at God.
Uh-huh.
Come blame on. God,
That's
blame
right.
others.
Yeah.
But his mercy endureth forever. And I don't know about you, but I can't count the times that he's extended mercy to me.
Amen.
You can't count the times he's extended mercy to you too.
Exactly right.
All of those dark days, those winter days, he's extended mercy. He's extended grace, but he's extended mercy countless times. I deserve to be punished, he extended mercy.
Yeah.
I didn't deserve it, he extended mercy. Maybe that's a treasure there also to we need to learn and apply to others. Given mercy and punishment, really expected or maybe even deserved.
Yes.
Amen?
Yeah.
Even in the midst of our pain, if we can look at someone and not decide we're judging something or what they merit or what they deserve, but extending mercy.
Yes.
He extended mercy to us when our attitude was less than perfect.
Thank you,
Amen.
Jesus. Amen.
We can extend mercy to others. Lord, give me the grace to extend mercy when it's not merited. Mm-hmm. Mercy just extended because it's mercy. Thank you, Lord, for that reminder in there.
Amen.
Let me reflect that in my winter time to extend mercy.
Yes.
The fifth one, to set up the house of God. Have you established the house of God in your life, your home, your job, your actions? One of the most unbelievable things that happens is to see someone going through a spiritually hard winter and to see them turning away from the source of their strength.
Right. So true.
The saying is, don't doubt in the dark what you do in the light.
That's right.
Yeah.
Winter is not a time to leave church.
No. That's true. Come on.
Winter is not a time to leave church.
Right.
And yet you see it so many times. People that needed the most are the ones who more likely to go the least. Ruth tells the story of Naomi and Elimelech. There was a famine, so they left Bethlehem looking for bread. That's what the scripture says.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you all know the meaning of Bethlehem is the place of bread.
Right.
Yeah.
They left the place of bread in search of bread.
Yeah.
And sometimes we leave the source of our strength in search for something else.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
You don't leave your source of strength when you need strength. Mm-hmm. We don't leave the house of God when things are going wrong. That's when we need to be even more faithful, even more coming to church, even more getting the prayer closet, even more doing the times with like saints when we need it.
Uh-huh.
Not when we say, well, everything's going horrible, I'm just not going to go.
Mm.
No, that's the treasure. Set up the house of God in your life.
Amen.
The sixth thing, to repair the desolation thereof. You may say, you don't understand my winter. I don't think spring will ever come. My heart was cold and frozen, and I was laid bare and no life. Job 14 says, for there is hope of a tree.
Yeah.
If it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender breath thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet, while life is hard, through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth like a plant.
Yes.
Now, I have a vivid imagination. And I can just see this old stuff, just to walk by, you'll see it. It's been a long time since it even looked like a tree. Long time since birds with nests and branches. Long time since it even had branches. Looks dead to me. Don't see how you can repair that old thing. Its glory days are gone. It's over. Nothing left but an old stuff. It's gone. And they tell you to never cut a tree down in the wintertime. It may look dead, but springtime is coming. And you can't tell by the dead branches, and you can't tell by the fallen leaves. And I mean that more than just a tree, too. Sometimes you can't tell by dead branches or fallen leaves. Take it from there. You know what I'm talking about with people. So they're dead, they're gone, that's how you can't tell. Believe in that scent of water.
Yes.
I grew up on a farm and we planted a lot of trees, and often I tell my dad, that tree's dead. It's dead. And he'd take me over and he'd break a branch, and he'd take a little piece of it and break that branch carefully and show me the green inside. He's still alive. There's green in there. And we had a tree that was in the front yard that somehow it split in the middle. And Dad said, that's it. I'm going to cut it down. And for some reason, I love that tree. I said, no, don't cut that tree down. I will fix it. And I went out and I got rope and wire and duct tape. And I put the tree together and I wired it together and I roped it together and I duct taped it together. And Dad said, it's not going to live. And I watered it. And I'll probably pray for it.
Yeah.
I wanted that tree to live. And you know what? Spring and all the trees start budding out and they haven't done anything. It's dead. And all of them start budding. And you know what? It was the most beautiful tree in our yard because it branched out. And people would say, that tree is so unique and beautiful. And even as a young teen, I think, oh, you don't know what that tree's been through.
Yeah.
You don't know.
On,
but what it's been through is why it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And what it's suffering is why it's so pretty.
That's good.
Because you see, God turned ashes for beauty.
Yes.
It was broken. It was no good. But you know what? When we put it back together, and God said, it's going to bud again, and all of us beauty for ashes. And it was the prettiest tree in the yard.
Yeah.
It's been repaired. Desolation has been repaired. And he's saying, I'm going to do that for you. In this little space of unmerited divine assistance, I'm going to do that for you. I'm going to repair the desolation. You say, well, that's never going to happen to me. Remember, you're in a little space of unmerited divine assistance.
Yes.
Yeah, only by yourself you get.
Yes.
There's no sign of anything would ever happen with that stump again. Then the Bible gives us that wintertime vivid picture of it, and then you get the glimpse of spring.
Yes.
Yet at the scent of water.
Thank you.
Familiar fragrance of water, like we had flowing around here this morning. It wasn't a thunderstorm that got this old stuff back to life. It wasn't some big downpour. It was just the scent, just the fragrance in the air, and that old tree started coming back to life. Sometimes that's what you need to do. Just that scent, just that Bible reading, just that time of prayer, just that moment alone with Him, just that scent. You say, well, I'm just waiting for the downpour. You still have to wait for the downpour. And He's saying sometimes just that scent of water, that divine assistance shows us that new life is coming out of a situation that looked hopeless.
Yes.
That story's in the Bible for a reason. It's not about a tree.
No.
That's right.
It's about you and me.
Yes.
Right.
If the very hair on your head is numbered and He knows every tear that you cry.
Yes, He does.
If it can happen for a tree, it can happen for
you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
If it's good for a tree, it's good for you. It's good for me. He sees our daily struggle. He sees our need. And if there's hope for that tree, there's hope for me.
Amen.
And you can tell yourself that. If there's hope for a tree, there's hope for me.
Amen.
No matter what you face in the next week, day, tomorrow, tonight, if there's hope for a tree, there's hope for me.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
So your desolation can be restored. It's a promise here in this little space of grace. You see, one of the main reasons too that tree come to life is the roots. That tree wasn't alive because of its branches or its leaves.
Right.
It was the roots. Because you see, leaves fall off, branches fall off, but roots go deeper and deeper. How many of you ever pulled up a tree?
Yeah.
You know what it is. They say as much as you see on top is underneath there. You try to pull up a tree, you'll believe that.
Right.
Because that's where the strength is. And you see, when Job went through all that, he lost his family, he lost his wealth, he lost his cattle, he lost everything. The reason he could say about the tree, it's going to bud again, is because his strength wasn't in the family, or the money, or the wealth, or the animals he had, but his strength was in his roots, and he knew where his roots were.
Yeah.
He was rooted in God. No matter how many times the devil tries to come at you. When I was a child, we had one of these, some of you older people probably had one of these, what they call bozo? On this inflatable clown, and I still have it today, you hit it, it's weighted at the bottom, and it falls over, but it immediately pops back up.
Yeah.
You hit it again, and it pops back up. How many is a bozo?
Yeah.
The devil may hit you and knock you down, and all you got to do is pop right back up, because that's not where your strength is.
Yeah.
He may knock you down, but you have that divine assistance to get right back up again. There is treasure that He will repair the desolation. And I believe the restorer is in the building. He was here this morning.
Yes.
It's quiet tonight, but maybe someone here needed to hear this.
Yeah.
Maybe someone needed to know that there's a little space of grace.
Space
and He's going to give you unmerited divine assistance during this little space of grace. And the second thing is to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. Now, this is not, the scripture was not to set up the walls of Jerusalem or other cities, because those had not been done yet. But these were the walls of their home. And this wall is talking about their own homes here. So sometimes we need to rebuild the walls of our family structure. Strengthen that which remains. One of the benefits of winter is drawing families closer. There's not a lot you can do on a cold, snowy day. We found that out about a couple weeks ago, didn't we?
Yeah.
You're iced in. You eat what you have.
Yeah.
Do whatever you have. Because that's all you got.
Right.
So repair the walls. Do you need to rebuild any relationships or rebuild any family dynamics? What's the walls in relationships like?
Yes.
You've been given here a little space of grace.
Yes.
Of unmerited divine assistance to do that.
Yes.
Not to turn against it, but to do that. He's saying, I want you to rebuild your walls. The walls of your home. The walls of your family structure. The walls of those that you're in close contact with. That's the walls I want you to rebuild.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we have walls that need to be rebuilt or strengthened. That's a treasure in the darkness. Our tendency sometimes in the winter is to become a bear. And I don't mean grouchy, but I mean like hibernate until spring comes.
Right.
Well, until things get better, I'm just not even going to mess with anything.
Yeah.
No, he's saying, get out there, because you're in a little space of unmerited divine assistance. I'm going to help you.
Yes.
I've gone through 7 things here that I'm going to help you do during this time, this little space of grace. You know, I do flip houses, and that doesn't mean I turn them upside down. Some of you may not know that, but I've often thought about people who have, you know, don't know anything about it, and I run those lots and I hire those people, which is not good. But say if you had someone come to you and you wanted to build on a room or build a new home, and this guy came up to you and he is a world famous builder. He has a great crew at his disposal, and he has all the material, and he says, I want to do this for you. I want to build this for you, and it will not cost you a penny. And you say, you know, my husband and I just bought a chop saw, and we're going to see if we can work it. I think we got this. Say, how dumb could you be?
Yeah.
But sometimes God is saying, I want to help you do that. I want to give you divine assistance, unmerited. You don't deserve it, but unmerited divine assistance during this time, and you go, oh, I got it.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Yes. Yes.
Say amen or ouch. One of
yeah. Come on. Amen.
There we go. He wants us to rebuild those walls.
Yes.
And he wants to help us rebuild those walls.
Amen.
He wants to walk with us through them. He wants to give us that divine assistance. How much better could we be than having divine assistance? You know, as a counselor, so often I have people who come to me, and I tell them right up front, this is a one-on-one basis. I mean, people come to me, they want me to fix their husband, or their wife, or their children, or their co-worker, they want me to fix somebody. And I will say, it's not about anybody else. If you come to me, it's about you.
Yeah.
And so, it's not anybody else's actions, it's your reactions.
Right.
And we have to build our own walls. You can't build walls of your co-worker. You can't build the walls of your husband, your wife, your child. You build your own. And when you can build your own, you can be focusing on the divine assistance with you. A few years ago, I was in jungle Peru on a mission trip. And one day we spotted a deadly bushmaster snake, which is the kind of snake if they bite you, you only have like a couple hours to live. So we are like, go down the Amazon River in a canoe. We're hours away from any type of a hospital or a clinic or anything. And we talked about the fact that if that bit us, we're gone pretty much. But we might could try to get somewhere. But can you imagine if that happened and we responded by saying, I'm going to go after that snake and kill it. I'm going to go through the jungle. I'm going to hunt it down until I kill it. You'd say, why would you do that? And yet so many times in our own life, we try to go after the perpetrator. We try to go after the person who caused us hurt or caused us pain. And we destroy our own self by going after the cause of the pain. And God is saying, no, you go after the remedy. You go after my divine assistance. And that's what he's wanting us to do.
Right.
He's wanting to give us that. There's benefits in the dark winter days. I Googled this. Not on a religious site, just water benefits in winter. And one thing it said was there's sub-zero weather is no friend to insects. And it says that a cold spell will mean fewer of the tree-killing critters. And it says there'll be less mosquitoes, less ticks, so you're not going to have any diseases. And the possibility of illness they spread. Sometimes I think we need a critter-killing time in our life.
Yeah.
That cold spell sometimes we say, you know what? I just need to kill some critters.
That's good. Yeah.
We've got to have a time in our life. And you see, the best thing about this is it's the divine assistance we have to do it. I couldn't stress that enough. We are in an unmerited time that he wants to do that for us.
That's good.
I also read that January cold snap is a good thing for the citrus crops. It said a good cold snap lowers the acidity in oranges and increases sugar and sweetens the fruit. Oh, you know where I'm going with that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Have you seen people you know that's gone through a long, hard, cold winter, and yet you're amazed with your sweet spirit?
Uh-huh.
That's good.
Sometimes it takes a winter to bring out that sweetness.
Yes.
Amen.
Not bitterness, sweetness.
Right.
There are treasures in trials. And I could quote scripture after scripture about the importance of going through trials. His word assures us that there's treasures in the darkness, there's treasures in your winter time, but there's a space of grace, of unmerited divine assistance, priceless treasures hidden in every moment of your day.
Yes.
That's
good.
Your goal is to find the treasure.
Yes.
It's there. There are treasures in our winter darkness. darkness. Song of Solomon 2:11 said, "For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on earth. The time of singing has come. And the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land." A little space of grace means it's just for a short time. It said a little space of grace. It'll be over. But during that winter, do more than just hibernate and hide out. Realize that you have divine assistance and seven things he's promised you that he's going to do during that time.
Yeah.
Do you want it? Yeah, it's coming.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. This is a time of unmerited divine assistance. He's promised us that he's going to go through that. He's promised us that tree's going to bud out again. He's promised us that that answer is going to come. He's promised us I'm going to walk with you through that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need his divine assistance for anything tonight? Anybody going through a winter here? Anybody going through some winter days? Well, you have a little space of grace to claim that divine assistance.
Yes.
You have it at your hand. He's wanting to give it to you.
Amen.
Do you want that little space of grace and divine assistance? You may say,
yes.
I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy. That's right. You're not.
Mm-hmm.
It's unmerited divine assistance.
Yes, ma'am.
I like that line.
Yes.
I like that word stuck in there. Unmerited. You only have 9 points. It took 10. Sorry, you don't get it.
Yeah.
It's unmerited divine assistance to take you through it.
Right.
He says, I want to make you secure. I want to put you in a holy place. I want to bring the light back to your eyes, the joy of your salvation. I want to give you reviving. I want to extend mercy. I want to set up the house. I want to repair the desolation. That's all in the scripture. That's what I want to do during this time. He's saying, I want to walk with you through this.
Yes.
You see, he says to take my yoke upon you, and it's easy.
Yes.
Now, when you yoke two things together, they're working together, right?
Amen.
Amen? That's why they say when you yoke oxen or whatever you yoke together, make sure you have two good ones.
Uh-huh.
Well, you see, if I take his yoke, does that mean that he's yoked with me?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, now, if he's yoked with me, I'm walking pretty easy, aren't I?
Yeah.
You ever thought about that?
Yeah.
If you're yoked with him, the yoke is easy. Because he's carrying the heavy part. He's carrying the load. If you're yoked with him, who are you yoked with tonight? What are you yoked with tonight? He said, take my yoke on you. And it's easy. It's going to be easy for you.
Amen.
Brother Chris would come, Sister Kenny. I want to know if anybody here would like to claim something that's yours.
Uh-huh. Come on.
Unmerited divine assistance is yours.
Listen.
Are you going to sit back there and say, I don't need it? There's seven things he said in those two verses.
Yes.
I'm going to extend you mercy.
Yeah.
I'm going to repair desolation. I'm
yes.
going to be here for you. I'm going to do all these things.
Yes.
All you got to do is
Amen.
Just say, I need that unmerited divine assistance.
Yeah.
Lord, you know what I'm going through? He said, yes, I do.
Uh-huh.
But like someone said here, he likes to hear our voice. He likes to hear us. He wants to hear us say, Lord, I claim that divine assistance. I want it, because you know what? It's waiting for you. If you're in a winter time, this is your time to claim it. If you'll all stand with me, I'd like for you, if you'd like to claim it, I'd like you to come to the altar. And all you got to do is say, Lord, you said it. I accept it. I want it. And I believe it.